Hello, welcome back to another episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Out of System. Joe, Micah, Ahui Ho, how we doing, boys?
What up, what up?
What up, gangsters?
Gangsters in the house. Hey, boys, what do you think of our new animation that we just got, put up?
Oh, it was legit.
Food pretty mansion. Fire.
I still like to hear
Shout out Aaron so Fox. Nice. Shout out Aaron Fox on that.
Who did that?
Aaron, he's our graphics guy. He's done all of our logos. He's done everything. Big shout out to him.
That was so sick. Yeah. Big shout out to Aaron.
I put him on anything. He's a fucking.
Aaron.
Aaron.
Let's kind of get into it here. Big news out of China. They're shutting it down for all foreigners. So basically, Joe, if I get this right, if I correctly understand this, people like Matt Anderson, who signed, what was it, a four-month contract in China, they are now being kicked out, and they are debating whether they are paying them or not, or what's going on, and what's kind of going on in that situation over there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Micah knows a lot. I just kind of heard about this in the past day or so, but yeah, you pretty much hit it right on the point. They have announced that they're closing it to all foreigners, so they'll still have the league going on, but it won't be open to most foreigners, or not to any foreigners coming in this year. And so the issues, of course, now you got to deal with when you have contracts, and you have those issues of releasing players and how much money they're going to get. So that's kind of what has to go through now. And there's rumors now that Matt Anderson, actually Moderna, who was the club he had signed with last year, is looking to get him back on track, because anybody who's familiar with the Italian league knows this year that Moderna is definitely the weakest of the top four, which is a new position for them to be in. And so they're looking to make additions to possibly strengthen their roster, which would make sense. But obviously, Matt has to figure out with his with Shanghai, which is the club he had signed with in China, along with other the other players, the foreigners. I don't know, Micah, if you have anything to add on to that.
No, I think you're spot on. No,
but yeah, I think like the biggest thing. That's the annoying part. I've said it. I think Micah is pretty open. Like, the business side of volleyball now is the most annoying part, because like relationships with people and stuff can be different when you talk about money, and like you want to make sure you are getting the money that you feel like you deserve and the money that was promised to you. But at the same time, like, what? You don't want to be like that asshole that is going and like making yourself like. That's always the toughest part for me, especially like in the business. Is like, Pete, like when I go through like an offer something, and you like you have to talk business with people that you just like you have a good relationship with. It's always tough for me.
How much was he making? Yeah, he was making close up to, or if not $1 million, yeah, gotta be.
I heard like 800,000.
Good for him.
What I'd heard.
Jeez.
Yeah, I feel like I'd heard that too, but I'm not sure.
Some you guys contracts around there as well.
Well, if you spread mine out, because I play 8 months, so yeah, I'd be probably around there.
$100,000 a month. Yeah, I mean, same with me. Yeah, actually, just kidding. NCAA. I'm just kidding now.
You know, wait, I'll kind of segue on to our kind of next side topic here that it relates to the last one, but. We want to start a new thing now that all the seasons are kicking back up. NCAA volleyball has also started back up. Last week, I saw that Stephen F. Austin, who's in the Southland Conference, I believe, for volleyball, as well as their conference just started back up last week. You're going to see the Big 12, ACC, and I believe SEC start up very soon in the next week here. Anybody who's checking out our Instagram this week knows that we have one of the University of Texas players taking over our Instagram, showing you behind the scenes of them getting ready to go play next week, their conference. And so that's getting going. But over here in Europe, pretty much everything's getting going besides the two leagues that Mike and I are in, which is the French and German league. But we want to start something off here where we pick three matches a week, and we give our predictions on who's going to win those matches. And so we wanted to start big. We have to start big. And for those unfamiliar with European volleyball, we hope that you guys will become a little more invested and learn a little bit through these predictions, because I think it's a good way of connecting everybody so they kind of understand what's going on over here. So boys, the top two. So what's going on this week is we got three matches. I picked one from the Italian League, one from the Polish League, and another from the Italian League. We're going to start off with the power matchup, I think, in the world. I think the top matchup of all the matches going on across the globe. Civitanova Lube and Trentino Volleyball are playing in the Italian Super Cup. And what that is usually the four best teams from the previous year play in a semi-tournament at the beginning of the next season. And so this season it's a little different because they're actually playing two legs of the in the Super Cup. And so in the semis, each team plays home and away, and they take the overall score. And so last weekend we saw Trentino beat Lube 3-2 in the first round of Super Cup. And this weekend, 9-20, the 20th of September, we're going to see this matchup. For you guys, what are you guys looking forward to, and what do you what are your predictions?
Mike, you go
for
first.
This coming match.
Okay, yeah, no. I got the chance to watch a little bit of the last one. I was shocked Trentino pulled it off because they were playing without Lucarelli, who, if you guys don't know, is an amazing receiver or outside hitter from Brazil. And they're playing without Lisnac, who's a middle from Serbia, who's just a physical beast. And those are two of their starters. And they were playing, if I'm not wrong, they were playing two Italians in their position that were like under 23 or just super, super young. And those guys balled out. I mean, the lefty who came in for Lucarelli, like, served super well, played super well. I was shocked that Trentino pulled it off. On the other side, Lube stacked with Cubans. Wanterena, Leal. Well, not Cubans anymore, but Wanterena, Leal, and Simone. And then they have Dzeko setting them, which is an incredible setter. So, yeah, I was shocked that they lost the first one. I was taken back. I don't know how they did it. I know Trentino has a really good coach, so I'm sure they have a good game plan or something. I don't know what, but I don't expect them to do it again. I think Lube is going to take them out in less than five, so there's going to be no golden set. I think they're going to take care of business.
So Mike is saying that Lube advances. They win 3-0, 3-1, like Micah said, and they advance since Trento won 3-2 the previous match. Gage, what's your prediction for this one?
I'm definitely choosing Lube on this again. Just because, like you said, stack with Cubans. Sometimes I think about what would happen if all those Cubans didn't defect or leave. That team would be a powerhouse.
Insane.
They'd be a powerhouse
right
now.
They would be insane.
Now.
Yeah, they would be an absolute unit.
But, yeah, definitely Lube.
So you got Lube, all right. And how many? How many sets?
I'd say 3-1, if not 3-0.
3-1, okay.
Yeah,
so you're
I'd say 3-1 as well.
All right.
I'd say 3-1 as well.
I'm going to have to go with Trentino, though, regardless if Lucarelli's playing. I mean, if he is playing, I think I'm for sure we go Trentino, but I have to go opposite those two. And obviously Trentino, all they have to do is win. Doesn't matter in how many sets. If they win, they're through to the finals. I'm going to go Trentino wins 3-1. I'm going to flip it. Trentino 3-1. Let's move on to our next matchup here between two Polish powerhouses, perennial powerhouses, Jastrzębski versus Rzeszowia. There's one American in this matchup, Jeff Jędrzejczyk, playing for
Asseco
Rzeszowia, Jungle Cat, as most people know him. They have Jastrzębski, the team he's playing against, is led by the German national team setter, Lukas Kampa. But pretty much for the most part, these rosters are just full of Polish players. Like scrolling through here, you have Cebulj, the Slovenian on Rzeszowia. But besides that, it's pretty much the rest of it is Polish. For you guys, I know it's a little, I think out of top leagues, this is out of the top leagues, this is the league that people know the least about.
I know.
It's
maybe Russia, man.
Dude,
even Russia, I feel like people might know more players there and might know more about like Zenit Kazan, like the powerhouses of the Russian league. I feel like more
people
might know about.
That's true, but outside of that, man, there are so many good players in Russia that I have no idea who they are.
Gage,
but that's just
lead
maybe
off
for
with
me.
The pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Joe sent us the rosters, and as soon as I saw this, I knew this is the team to pick. I have never seen anything like this. I'm going to go with Jablinski team.
Jastrzębski.
Jastrzębski.
I'm going to go with Jablonski because, first of all, their head coach, not only is he an Aussie, right? He's an Aussie, mate.
He's Aussie.
So he's like speaking the team, like getting the team all up, you know, stuff like that, you know, stuff like that, right? Not only is he the head coach, but he's also the strength and conditioning coach.
No.
So you know that team is fired the F up, bro. If I had my head coach as a strength and conditioning coach, he'd be like, he'd probably just be roasting me, calling me fat all the time. But that's okay. He's got his team fired up and ready to go. And they got people on their names, like the name of Patrick Chickasov Dzaga. Pachulia, I don't know. But this team has got me fired up. I'm going to start paying more attention to Jablonski team.
With a powerful pick. That's a
valuable input. You know, that is.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to second that.
Luke Reynolds.
There's no beating Aussies, man. There's just no beating them.
Dude, those guys are wild.
I think that in the strength and fitness category specifically, they're just head and shoulders above anyone else in the world right now. What they're doing in there is incredible. I saw some film from there, they were doing was chopping down 80-foot pine trees and carrying them through their town into the gym and then proceeding to power clean with them. I've never seen anything like it.
I saw them get in the ring with 20 kangaroos, actually. 20 dingoes.
All right, so you guys are big on Yastrzemski. I'm actually going to be the third one to say Yastrzemski because for anyone who doesn't know, Rizovia, who has been...
Rizovia is stacked.
It's because they've had one of the biggest budgets in Poland the past couple of years.
100%.
However, the past two seasons, they've fallen short. We actually, the outside from my team, Nicolas Marichal, he was playing there last year, and he was one of their receivers, but it just didn't work out for whatever reason. The past two seasons, they've had really good rosters that haven't worked out, and they actually lost last weekend again. I'm trying to recall who they lost to, but they lost again. So not a good start in the Bundesliga for them.
They have Drizga, they got Chebel, they've got Surgeon is an absolute beast. Americans know Surgeon actually. Nicolas Surgeon
from Ohio State, yeah.
Such a beast, man. But Jastrzemski's got some ballers too. Fornal is a baller.
And Jastrzemski has the chemistry. The chemistry for them. I think it's a team that came back again. They have the same setter, same captain. And so that team just has the chemistry. They had some big champ. I'm pretty sure Shevsky was the team that beat Kazan in Russia last year.
That game was incredible. They came back from 14-11, I think.
14
in the fifth.
Yeah. Maybe even 14-11.
Maybe more. Maybe they sided out to get 14-11. So maybe it was 14-10.
I'm a big fan of that team. I just like the chemistry they have, and of course the Aussie. The Aussie from down under.
Dude.
That's the X factor right there.
Those guys are crazy. Australians, I'm going to take 30 seconds here to talk about Australians, okay? Australians, you see a lot of them because it's decently close to Hawaii. Hawaii and Australia, there's a lot of Australians that come over here either for football or just – if you see the people that come to Australia and Hawaii, I've seen some 10-year-olds look at a cliff. I've just been chilling. Like, there's no way I'm going in that cliff and cliff diving. My man pops there, doesn't take – 10 seconds, such a 10-year-old running up there and just does a backflip off there. I'm like, these guys are absolutely insane. They'll do anything. Okay, Joe, sorry. Continue.
We're going to move on to our third match here so we get moving forward. Again, in the Italian league, but these two teams are not among the top four from last season, so they are playing in the Coppa Italia, I believe, which is the remaining however many teams. Padova versus Piacenza, and we got a couple Americans playing in this match. We have Kavika Shoji playing in Padova this year, and they actually had a big win last weekend to start their season off. And then, of course, with Piacenza, which is there's a big question mark of how they're able to afford such a big name roster. Yeah. They have Aaron Russell. They have Grozer, the big-time German opposite. And then, of course, James Shaw from Stanford backing up Grozer this year. But so we have three Americans in this matchup on the rosters. And I actually this Piacenza team, I think, to be honest, by the middle of season, could be competing with the top four teams in matches throughout this season in Italy. And so it's going to be pretty interesting. I have my pick in mind. I want to let's lead off with Micah here about what you expect from this match.
Yeah, I think Piacenza. I think their last game, I didn't think they haven't gotten it all together yet. Like you said, it's going to take some time. They got a lot of Cleveno even is the other receiver from France, yeah. And he's a baller too. They definitely have the star power. They have the arms. It's just going to be about the chemistry. But I think they're going to win. Padova has Kvika leading them, and he's a winner for sure. But I think Piacenza is going to come out. I think it's going to be 3-0.
Yeah, Gage?
I'm doubling that for sure. I'm looking at Piacenza. And their libero's name is Fabio, so I can't really go against that one. Just looks like an absolute
Their starting libero is not Fabio. Their starting libero is actually Leonardo.
Well, there's then I'm going to switch my pick because they're making a huge mistake in there. I'm going Padova now. I'm doing. So
it's a questionable move.
I'm doing Qdoba.
Gage makes his decisions based on things that have no relation to
They have a guy named Leonardo, basically Leonard Fournette on their team. He goes Leonardo Ferrado. Leonard Fournette, right there.
Are you kidding
on their
me?
Team.
That is not. Listen, Leonardo Fournette. What is it, Fernando?
Dude, they damn near got
his last name and first name rhyme, and you're gonna not have him on the court. Fabio's legit. Fabio's an amazing.
Thank
name.
You, Fabio
but,
Finale.
But listen,
thank you.
Fabio Finale, that's nice too with the little like FF.
Yeah, it's like Finale
going on. Leonardo is not a bad substitute though. So you can't go from 100 to 0. On
they
that.
Got a
from
ninja
3-0 Piacenza. From 3-0 Piacenza to a Padova win.
Okay.
When you're replacing Fabio with Leonardo, that's not bad.
They have, but what's their names? Freaking Padova has two Marcos on their team, and they got a guy, and they got David Wiseorg's
brother.
But
do they have a Polo? But do they have a Polo?
A Polo?
Marco Polo.
Ah.
If you have a Marco, you got to have a Polo.
That's a roster mistake.
They so
that's a roster.
They actually no, they do right here. Piacenza, Alberto Polo. Alberto
Ooh.
Polo.
You might just switch your choice here, just based on swag alone.
All right. So my choice here. We'll finish up this segment here, so we can get moving forward. I'm definitely going Piacenza here. I'm gonna say 3-1. I'm gonna say Pato. I'm gonna say Kvika leads his team to a set victory, but ultimately Piacenza takes it 3-1.
What do we get if we're right?
Well, we're gonna keep a tally over the season.
Yeah, let's keep a tally over the season.
And
the loser.
And then we got to find a sponsor to sponsor once Gabe is done in the season, we got to find a sponsor to.
What season?
Yeah, if Gage has a season.
I don't know what y'all are talking about season.
But that's that.
Talking about the
those
season.
Are our picks for week one. We'll think of a name if you have a good name for this segment of us picking. Send it in. We'd love it. Send us a DM. Send us an email. We'll go through it.
Definitely.
But moving forward here, you know, I think we've had actually a lot of interesting discussions off air. And so for me, I had been going through and thinking about, because my team right now, I think here in Germany, we are talking about different system stuff. And for me, I think certain players thrive under certain systems, to be honest, and certain styles of play. So I wanted to ask you, Gage, to start off. What throughout your life and throughout your playing career, what are some things that are important for the coaches to explain to you, or some coaches, some different kind of like parameters they give to you that you need or you don't need for you to be successful?
I don't like overbearing coaches, right? But then again, I don't know. Some people need more overbearing coaches where it's like they kind of have to really stay on them. But for me, it's like I feel like I've reached a level. I'm not saying I've learned it all, right? And you guys are the same way, right? You need certain parameters. You say here, do here, do here. But with me, I'm kind of like a wild stallion, you know what I'm saying? Like a wild dango. So just kind of letting me kind of roam free. This kind of like Milan, he kind of does, okay, here, do this, and it'll get on me. And he gets on me like that's what you want, but you don't like overbearing coaches, right? It's kind of just like give him something and then let's kind of let him run with it kind of thing. And that's just kind of how I feel with that. I feel like Micah, you're probably the same way, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of a free flow guy, but what's interesting is that I was raised in like the ultimate system ball.
And Kylo Cole.
My like whole, yeah, our whole club upbringing, we were like, that's what won us championships, was basically just everybody abiding by a system and buying fully in, and not going outside of it at all. So,
how do you?
I don't really know what's best.
Just so we get this clear, I always thought you pronounced it Kaulukoa. What's the correct pronunciation?
Kaulukoa.
Kaulukoa. Okay, what does that mean?
Yeah, you're saying, well, ka is the, so there's two versions of the. It's ka and k, and so ka goes with u because k goes with ao. If you're like, you know how like, you see before things, there's ka and k.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have noticed that. Well, those mean the, so. It just means the, and then, I don't know. I didn't talk with the people that name it, but Ulu might be to grow, and Koa is warrior, obviously. A lot of Hawaiian people know Koa. It's a pretty common word. So I'm guessing, I have no idea, don't quote me on this, but my translation of this would be the growing warriors.
Wow.
The growing warrior, singular.
That's sick.
Which is super sick, but I don't know. I have no idea what it means. That's just my attempt
understanding.
At it. Somebody could correct me at.
But we have fact checker. Damn it.
The club there though at Kaulukoa, it was pretty like system. I mean, you could tell by watching guys growing up, everything was systematic.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we only
blocked line. Like if you ever got tooled line, my father, if we had more than seven players, you'd for sure go to the bench. But he would be so – he'd call timeouts and just yell at you that you're selfish. He would always do that. Just, you are so selfish. You are so – and you're like, dude, I was trying to block – so we would all be like, dude, I was trying to block line so hard, and this guy just hit me in the wrong spot. Because blocking line is a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Even if your hands are right, if he hits it well, like
– 100% you're gonna get fooled sometimes. Success rate. That's gnarly.
But, we had, like, and middle commits every time on good path. Like, we had super, super strict systems, and it worked for us. We all bought in.
Yeah.
We all knew that we needed it. But also, I'm kind of, like you, Gage, I'm kind of like a wild player.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Yeah. In terms of offensive system, it drives me nuts when coaches – with me, are like very strict. Like, so at University of Hawaii, our head coach, Charlie Wade, our first 2 years there, he was very, very much like, all right, this is what we do. This is what we don't do in these situations. Like, he was very, everything was scripted almost. And for me, it was really frustrating because I like the creativity of being setter, and I like just the style like of a team who's like a little more creative. I think there's a way to be like structured, but at the same time, a little more like kind of free flowing. I think there's a way to do that. Like I think the French national team does a really good job of this sort of style, but for me, and then finally in my last 2 years of college ball, in Hawaii, Charlie kind of like loosened the reins, and for me, like I was important because I was able to develop a relationship more with the hitters, because we would like work on all kinds of different things and see what worked, and it is like I think everything kind of follows suit though as well. It's like when the offense just kind of free flowing, it's like more fun, then everything else is just easier. The defense kind of picks up momentum from that. And so, but I think there's absolutely players who need like a super structured system. Like I've played with players, like you can't let them just go do whatever the heck they want or make decisions on themselves because they don't make the right decisions. And so it's.
No, 100%. Also with setters, it's like, Matt, because really it comes down to the setter gets told what to do. You know, like. If that's what you're talking about for the system, I do not like to have a lot of input. I like to see the numbers sometimes, because sometimes you'll lose track of like, okay, who's actually being efficient and who do I think is being efficient?
Yeah.
Or like, am I setting the same thing every time in the same rows and stuff like that? I love to be presented with the knowledge, and then for me to be able to make my own opinion or my own choices off of that.
For sure.
And when they, man, whew. being a setter is tough sometimes. That's all I got to say. Yeah, when people are telling you what to do, and or even like instructing you about how the set is every single time, yeah, like telling you to set it a certain way. Like, yeah, I'm dealing with that right now a little bit.
Especially overseas, when you're dealing with like older hit as a young setter, when you're dealing with older hitters, and usually something doesn't go right or whatever, they make an error, like they just give you looks sometimes. You're just like, the first, like, young setters always get thrown under the bus. Like, I now, like, I've seen like other teams, and you see like older setters, and they have the respect, so the other hitters, like, they aren't gonna voice their opinion as much with setters, but sometimes with the younger setters. And so, like, last year when I first got here, I was still trying to figure out the ropes, but this year, like, I'm a little more, I don't know how to say.
Do they respect,
like,
you
I
more?
Would say, oh, for sure. But I take a little more, like, I won't just put up with any BS either. Like, like, I'm pretty demanding of
that's a hard thing to do.
And stuff. It is. No, it's especially when you're dealing with, like, a guy like Marichal this year, who he's actually super awesome. He's really easy to work with. And, like, I don't think any of the setters have any issues with him. But a guy like him, he comes in with his pedigree, an Olympian. He's won all types of medals on the world stage. Like, those types of guys, imagine you come in, like, your first year, and then you're playing with guys like that. It's like, it can be intimidating for sure, and you don't want to overstep your boundaries or overstep your welcome at times. But it's important. I think for young setters, it's really important for them to see or to develop a level of respect for you, so the respect is mutual. I think if it's one way, then if the rest of the team sees like a hitter going after the setter all the time, then it just looks bad, because then it gives other guys excuses to go after the setter, and then the setter lose control of the team, and at the end of the day, that's just not going to be a good culture that benefits the entirety of the team.
Right.
Yeah, dude, being a setter is, it's crazy. I had a podcast about it. It is such a difficult position. I think so much goes past people's, because I feel like I also can speak on that, because I've played other positions. So, like, if you're going to tell me, like, no, dude, like, opposite or receiver is way harder, I can tell you, like, no, it's not. Like, I've played, and setter is just, oh my gosh, it's a whole nother level of difficult.
Well, I can tell you.
It's the pressure, for sure. Like, the pressure, like, if a hitter goes and he doesn't run his route, or he runs his route incorrectly, and the ball gets set somewhere where he was supposed to be, like, the crowd, everybody looks at the setter. Like, they don't look at the hitter, because the hitter stares at the setter, and so it just makes the hitter look, or it makes the setter look bad always. The setter always looks bad when stuff goes bad.
And setters are judged off of perfection, and no one else is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, especially in America, like, I've played with some guys that have such a good understanding of it, that are like, hey, you give me the ball, and it's my, after that, it's what I do with it is on me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And in America, it gets like, a little bit higher, a little bit lower, oh, a little bit left, a little bit right, a little bit tight, like, on every single thing. And it drives us wild. Like, one, we know, like, I can tell when it's tight. Just try and make a play help me out. Because I don't say, like,
yeah,
oh, can I have this pass 1 foot lower? Like, no, you pass the ball, and I run wherever it is, and I try and make it better. So after I try and make it better, it's your job as a hitter to try and make it better after me.
So your experience as a setter you're saying that people are more picky in America than they are in Europe or international.
I couldn't speak on that enough, because I've only
played a couple for players you
internationally. So but far. in my experience, 100%, yeah. The players that I've been with in
like the UCLA players and stuff,
or internationally. No, just as a culture. Like, okay. I think Americans are also very analytical, you know? Right. Like, when we're playing, we're very analytical. We're always
over-analytical.
Like, oh, was that okay? Like, I'm not sure, because, I mean, the USA team performs really well, and I don't know if it's to a fault or if it's to our benefit overall. But in some aspects, for sure, and in some aspects, probably it really helps us. But just over here, especially in France, it's like so much of this stuff is not ironed out. I'm like, how are these guys playing so well? Like, how is there no miscommunications? Like, these guys are just throw it like, but they just are good players. They take the ball and they make the right decision. And, like,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, you see,
the smart. efficiency is the biggest thing here. It's like guys know how to take care of the ball. They know like when they can risk a little more and when they can push, and that's like, I mean, obviously that comes through maturity and stuff, but that's definitely like you see that with experienced players over here.
Now, mm-hmm. Micah, you talked a little about UCLA. I want to kind of get into that a little here. Biggest thing, you know, when first of all, when you came to visit us in Hawaii, I remember a bunch of the people in the crowd, and you hate this. I know you hate this for a fact. Called you a traitor, called you all these names, right? Maybe there may have been.
Wait, how do you know I hate that?
There may have been a push from some of the guys on the team to make sure, hey, make sure you call him this. He loves it. It'll get him riled up.
No, I can speak on that for sure because I don't mind that actually.
So what do you hate the most?
What
then?
Are you talking about?
I thought you said when like they call you traitor that you get like super pissed off or like or it riles you up a little.
Not really, because man, I was being called a traitor when I was so young because I left Waimea to go to Punahou.
Really?
Like that was, dude. Yeah, that was huge. Like everyone would call me a traitor. Everybody. And maybe even back then, it didn't bother me a lot.
What bothered you the most about
when I came home?
Yeah, when you came to Hawaii, what bothered you the most?
Oh gosh, losing.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, when I came my freshman year, we lost our first game, and I didn't speak. I was so upset because my family was there, and they're wearing UCLA, and I felt like I let them down, and they're like the only people there, obviously, that are cheering for UCLA.
Right.
So I didn't say a word after that. I was so ready for the next game. I didn't say a word until the next point of the next game the next day. I was so upset. That's the most upset I've ever been after a loss in my entire life.
You know, we both
more than the national championship.
Really?
Really? Really?
Yeah. In the heat of the moment, yeah. Now, looking back at it now, like that match doesn't really matter. It doesn't carry the weight of the national championship. Now I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. Even then, I'm like, the national championship, it's cool to have, but it wouldn't have changed my life. I'd still be here and like doing exactly what I'm doing. You know, like that doesn't really. It's a fun moment to experience and stuff, but and it's an amazing accomplishment and all that stuff. But I wouldn't be like. Going like that doesn't change my life. It doesn't.
Dude, I just remember after we lost, you were there. So people don't know this. It was me, Micah, and Joe, and my dad that went to dinner afterwards, and I think it was my mom too.
Right.
And so we all go all there, and we're just like we knew each other's pain because Micah lost, and then he knew we just lost as well, and we're just like a bunch of losers around the freaking table right now. what a great move.
And I think. Especially Joe has a lot of the same philosophies that I do about life and about volleyball. So I think even he had spoken about that after the game. He's like, hey, you want to get some dinner, talk about some stuff? Because we have similar minds. And you too, Gage, but just.
No. You ain't got to butter me up, Mike. It's okay.
I was thinking that too because, but you do have, like, we don't disagree on a lot of things, I wouldn't say.
Fair enough. I would say
we do get along, or like we agree with the same things, but just in that moment, it was specifically Joe that was like, "Hey," and we can agree on a lot of different things that, just happen in life in general, and then happen in volleyball as well.
Yeah, but I feel if you go with that attitude of just like, "Oh well, national championship would have been as good. Any championship wouldn't be as good. And you can just well, it's not going to change me as a person. I'd still be where I am today. You know what I'm saying?
No, right.
I don't know if I agree with that.
No, it doesn't change. It doesn't change my life. I mean, it changes my life, but it doesn't change my day to day.
Right.
Like, yeah, it changes my life because in my life now I have a story and I have an experience and all that stuff. But that doesn't change my day to day. It doesn't change who I am as much. Like, I still want to be the same person I would be if I won or if I lost.
So you're saying that you'd be in? I don't think me and Joe have the same mindset with you there. Your priority with your day to day life is higher than your volleyball career priority is what you're saying, kind of personnel wise.
No. My day to day is not as important as my overall career.
Right.
But that championship doesn't like what happened.
Right.
It doesn't change how I want to act or how I move forward.
Right. I think it can motivate you
more. Does
that
make sense?
It can motivate you more. Like, you gain more from your losses than from your wins a lot of the time, like, knowledge-wise.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. It could. But in general, like, for me personally, it doesn't – yeah, it could motivate me. It doesn't really motivate me because I feel like I'm still going to try and get better, you know? Right. So it doesn't – that loss doesn't motivate me as much as maybe it would – someone else, but it just doesn't change who I am, and it doesn't change the way that I approach any, like, my life, and so, it doesn't change it. The only thing it would be a memory and an experience, and but it's done with. So I know, I learn from it and I move on, and then I try and do as good as I can from here on out.
Right. I agree with that, but I feel like it could be dangerous. Well, that was that your mindset going into the match? I get, and I'm 100%.
No,
I'm all
no, no,
on board
no,
for
my
no
mindset
regrets.
3 years removed.
Okay. I get, like, no
that's
regrets.
That's where I'm at
100%.
In my life now.
I get that. I'm with that. I try and live my life like no regrets. It happened. You know, you learn from it and you move on. Like, I'm 100% that. I'm just making sure you didn't, like, approach the match like, you know what, this game isn't going to decide.
No. Right, I wasn't right, going to right. The match like, all right, this isn't going to mean anything to me. No, of course.
What's the point of life? We're all going to die.
I was warming up telling these guys, like, oh, this doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, even you could talk to me for a week after that. And then after probably a couple days, I don't know, I'm really fast. I move on super fast. So
relationships
like two
as well
or three
or
days.
No?
Oh, gosh, this is a complicated question. I don't know. I haven't thought enough about that. But I've thought about it, how it like, plays into my life in certain ways. And for those ways, yeah, I move on pretty fast.
Okay.
So Mike, I'll cut in here before Gage gets deep into your love life.
No.
So Gage mentioned, like, right after the mat, after we lost, I had asked you to come to dinner with our family. When we were sitting around the table, obviously, like, we were bummed, but I think we were just talking about so many, like, of our memories of us three and our, like, in the past, we played club together, and just, like, all our past stories, just to kind of bring light to the situation. But I do remember a big, like, the thing that stands out the most to me about that conversation was we were talking about, like, how cool it would have been if, like, us three, we all, like, went to the same school, or we went to the same school, and you know, thinking back now, obviously, like, 2-3 years out of college now, you think about it, it's like, yeah, that would have been so sick, especially like knowing that all of the experiences we had before college and stuff. What for you? I don't know how to put this lightly. I don't know, or it doesn't need to be put lightly. But for you, was there ever a time where you're like, damn, like, I wish I would have gone to UH, or I wish I would have done or made a different decision? Because for me, there was like a couple times. There was at the beginning of my career more so. I was definitely like, I wouldn't say regretting that I went to UH, but I'm like, oh, I wish I would have made a new decision. But by the end of
you
my career,
you hated
I didn't
it
know
there,
that
dude.
Was, yeah, at the beginning of my career, most people don't know. I was like, yeah, I wanted to get out of there. But for you, like, now 2-3 years removed, and you don't have to be completely open about it, but I want to hear from you, like, where are your thoughts on it? Because I remember us having that conversation afterwards at Olive Garden, is how, like, cool it would have been if all of us going to the same school in the right situation.
So the question is, have I ever thought about going to UH or another school?
Do you regret going to UCLA? Right.
No,
not even that. Not even that.
Yeah, I don't regret it. Were there times in my career when I wish I'd been somewhere else? Yeah, because my freshman year when I went to UCLA, a lot of stuff happened in my personal life back home, and so there were a lot of things pulling me back home. I wanted to be there for my family. In some difficult times, and that was by far the hardest part of that decision. Like, that was when I was like, okay, I want to go home. My father said, I don't really say it to him, I don't think, but he knew probably I was thinking it, and he's like, hey, you don't have to come home for this or for what's going on. Just keep doing what you're doing. talk to us, keep in touch and stuff like that. But we want you to do your thing. And so I also had always been like, I made a commitment to be here for 4 years. I'll be here for 4 years. I had a good relationship with Sprawl. So I was never like really close to leaving, but especially my freshman year, there were times where I was like, oh man, I need to be, not even for volleyball purposes, but just, for personal reasons, I was like, man, I want to be home just to be there.
For sure.
Joe, you really wanted to go to UCLA, I remember. You and Jordan both.
Yeah. Well, for me, that was like kind of like the spot that I wanted to go for sure. My like sophomore, junior, senior, in half my senior year, less than half my senior year of high school, that was kind of like the spot. And especially like at the point where I had met Micah my junior year, and we had a really good relationship. They were kind of recruiting us together, and then it was kind of like a last minute decision that I ended up going to Hawaii. But like I said, yeah, even like when I made that decision, I was still like so unsure about if I really wanted to do that. And so for me, kids all the time ask me about my like recruiting process and ask me for advice. I'm like, my recruiting process was way different probably than like most kids, especially like some of like the bigger name recruits. For them, like there was stuff I had to go through, especially because I was being recruited like different positions and stuff. And so for me, yeah, I like my first 2 years at Hawaii, I'm like, dude, I want a transfer, get me out of here. And by the end, I've always said like it was 100%. Like I'm so happy that I went to Hawaii. But obviously, it would have been super cool to go somewhere that me, Gage, and Micah 100% could have played together. I think that would have been an awesome experience, and I think we would have been sitting here with at least one ring by the end of our career. But you know,
not one, not two, not three.
Dude, Maya. Sorry, Joe. You go.
None of you. I was gonna ask you.
I'm gonna take you. I'm not gonna take too long, but I'm gonna take you through a brief description of my recruiting process. So when I was being recruited, I narrowed it down to three schools. Actually, first of all, so for those of you who don't know, I had to hit my last 2 years of high school and club, because we had no hitters, and I was like, all right, frick it, I'll do it. So I hit, and USC actually recruited me as a hitter. Fun fact. And they go, I was like, you want me as a hitter? And they're like, yeah. I was like, but USC is just definitely not a fit for me. Here's a fun fact there. So I narrowed down to three schools. I narrowed down to BYU, Hawaii, and UCLA. And that's how I went my visits. I went to BYU first, then UCLA, and then Hawaii. I go to BYU. BYU was actually my favorite visit. My favorite and my best visit. Because Utah's my favorite state. Like, I'm not. Obviously, there's a heavy Mormon culture there. I'm not Mormon at all. We don't come from there. But my family, we have a lot of family in Utah. My parents are alma maters of Utah. I just love it. It's a great state. Clean, crisp air. Phenomenal mountain range. Great food as well. Then
that's a nice state, man.
Very, very nice. And then, so I go to BYU, but they took me to the Brazilian steakhouse. They load me up. They knew what they were doing. They were very, very smart. But the whole match with probably the religion aspect of things, and just my parents were just being anti-BYU our whole lives, just because Utah and all that, and that jazz, the rivals. And my dad, I kid you not, they take us to a BYU football game. My dad comes in all Utah to the game. And I remember one guy on my recruiting visit. And then one guy just looks at me and is like, you got to be kidding me, like a fan. My dad's like, nope. So then, listen to this. So then that was my favorite visit.
That's a great introduction to Roger.
Exactly. And that's my, favorite
trip. You know everything about everything you need to know about him. You can know if you're that fan and you see him wearing that all
100%, 100%, die hard for sure. So BYU was my favorite visit, but in the back of my mind, I always knew that. I was like, you know what, just because, like I said, the religious aspect and the BYU and, like, the Utah BYU and stuff like that, it just wouldn't have worked out between us two, right? Great program, nothing against them. So then I go, so that was my favorite visit. So then I go to UCLA. And it's funny because Utah's in the Pac-12 with UCLA football, right? And what you do on a recruiting visit, they take you to a football game or any event, I guess, you want to go to. And my dad's like, you got to go here. Because Utah was playing at UCLA that weekend, right? So then I go to UCLA. And
the
I
trip
knew
it just turns out to be a trip for your dad
to watch a
football
game. Oh, 100%.
He comes, gets free tickets to go watch Utah at every school that you can possibly do a recruiting trip to.
Dude.
He's like, oh, Ohio State plays Utah. You're going to go. We're going to go on a recruiting trip to Ohio State.
Dude. He like asked for a recruiting.
He's dragging you along. He's dragging. Gage is like, I do not want to go.
Dude.
Like, he goes to schools. He doesn't even play the sport. He just is going to school.
Like, I didn't know Arizona State on a volleyball team. He's like, club volleyball. They're paying for your recruit. They're really excited to have you.
Dude, it gets better than that. Right? So I go to UCLA, and I knew it between UCLA and Hawaii. Those are my top. I knew it between those guys. Micah, you hosted me. I had an awesome trip. It was a great trip, right? I helped you. I remember
just partying like crazy.
They were partying. I remember the other recruits were doing like 21 shots, and I'm there with Micah, and I'm 21 shots, and then they consumed other alcohol as well. And me and Micah are working on his essay in the corner of this like kickback. So we were just talking. So
We were doing our essay.
Your essay, not my essay. Essay.
No, well, that became our essay.
Yeah, that's true. So
yeah.
Then
I gotta give some credit.
Yeah, thank you very much. So we finished and we were just basically doing that. And it was just kind of, it just turned into me and you just kind of talking about things, right? Like the whole time, right? So I had a great time. And then we go and they take us to the football game. And my dad comes in all Utah again when they're playing UCLA. And we go into the players' tent, meaning where all the athletes, UCLA, I guess you guys have this, all the student athletes you guys go to. It's like you guys have food and stuff. You take me there with Brad Keller. And my dad's in all Utah and a UCLA fan base, right? So he's showing up there. And I remember Dylan Misery just taps me because my dad was a little farther back. He's like, excuse my profanity here. He's like, who the fuck is this guy right here? To my dad. I'm like, yeah, that's actually my dad right there. And then we get in the game.
Didn't know what your dad looked like.
I guess not. Dude, we get into the game. And my dad's like, all right, I'll see. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to go sit in the Utah fan section. So he goes to the Utah fan section. And he sits there with my mom. And then at the end, I go by them. Like when everyone was starting to leave and I just go by them. And sit by them. And in the back of my mind, I was like, how can I turn down UCLA? And this is when I went to Hawaii. Hawaii was my worst visit out of the three. By far. Not even close. I'm not even close. And partially, it could have been for my fault too, right? So I go into Hawaii, and I come in with these questions, right? Because out of any of the schools, I had the most insight because I knew more of the alumni out of Hawaii. And I had Joe, a brother on the team, and I had other friends on the team, right? So then, so I go and I'm like, okay, so how is it? And at this time, I always played up 2 years up, and Joe had left and all those guys had left. So I kind of, especially on my last year, the year after Joe left, I still had a pretty good team. But the year after that, dude, our team was not good at all. And I was just tired of it. Like, I was just like, I don't want to be left behind again. Like, because I knew I don't want to just be Joe's years good and then below. And then, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be left behind because that's what it had been pretty much my whole, like, a lot of my career, right?
You want 4 years. Yeah, you want good 4 years.
100%. And UCLA, you guys were bringing the top recruits those years, like a bunch of them too, right? So I come in with a list of 5 questions to Hawaii. Now, this is where I felt there's a few times I didn't cross the line. There's a few times I did cross the line, right? So what they do in those meetings, I hear crap from it every time from Milan. So what they do is they take you into a meeting, right? They say, okay, we're going to offer you blank amount or something like that. Or they say, I'm lucky enough to receive a partial scholarship. So we go into the room, and I have these 5 questions written down. It's me, my mom, Josh Walker, Milan, and Charlie. So we get in the room, and I remember the first question I just start asking. I'm like, so I remember this is when I was like, I asked Charlie, I was like, so who else are you recruiting in my age? And for some reason, Charlie got super, super defensive, and he just like, why would you like ask that question? I was like, wait, what? Like, why is that such a big deal? Like, I just want to know who's in my class. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I've never had anyone ask me that question. So it didn't start off on a great foot. Or
he said,
like that.
There's no way nobody's ever asked that.
Dude,
before.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a completely normal question. 100%. You want to know who you're going to be playing with.
Yes. And he was super, super offended from that. And then, okay. Now, this is where I crossed the line. So I had a friend named Kobe Kanatake, who was the ex-libero there, right?
Yes.
He actually coached at Pac Rim for 1 year, my dad's club. He came to San Francisco and coached there. And so we were talking, and he's like, yeah, like, and then I don't know, like, I may misinterpret it, but a big thing that I heard from other people is like, yeah, they don't like work on like serve receive or anything like that, right? Now, listen. I have been here for, this is my fourth year. Hawaii does a phenomenal job with serve receive. I did not know that at the time, right? I was just kind of like, I'll admit, I crossed the line in this next question, and I was just stupid. I was just like this stuck-up kid.
Your mom didn't proofread your questions?
They did.
She's got to know.
They did. I know, and 100%. And I felt like this is where I crossed the line, and I asked. I was like, so I heard, like, is there a lot of, like, serve-receive going on? Because I heard, like, maybe not, and then from, like, other people. And then Milan literally goes off on me in my recruiting business. Like, you spit on me, you spit on my coaching, just stuff like that. And I was like, what? I'm just asking. Like,
no
like, yes. Way. And Charlie gets mad at me. And we're literally, like, you could hear.
Oh, my God.
You could hear all the way across, like, from, like, the other side. Like.
And you went there?
Yes, listen, it gets better. It gets better.
Bro,
it gets better.
Are you kidding me? I would have never went.
I'm not. I am not even kidding you right now, dude. Wait. So now it's hostile in the room. And so I'm there, and it's just not great. And basically here.
And at this point, you're like, it gets better. I got three more questions.
Yeah, here, wait. Give me a second.
Those are the first two. They're like, those are only the first two. I'm getting warmed up. I got three more.
Sorry, I had to put a new battery in. Don't worry, I'll cut this part out. This is I just had to put a new battery in here. Okay. All right. So like I said, so now it's hostile in the room. And so I asked my next question. I don't remember all my questions, but I remember something along the lines of like, oh, like what else? Like here, what is the life here? Like again, like who are you bringing in? Like so I know that I'm not like by myself, you know, just like cruising here. So then it gets more hostile, and then we just leave the room. Apparently, Colton Cowell was three or four doors in there, and he could hear like damn near like a screaming match. And then so this is my recruiting visit. So at the time,
what's your mom say?
My mom, it was just completely silent. It was just me and the coaches just talking.
What'd you say after? She's like,
so then,
not
so
here.
Listen to this. So then, my mom, because Josh Walker escorts all like the people, all the recruits, the parents.
Okay, yeah. Escorts
my parents went on every recruit, and I 100% agree that they should because, they're the ones paying the bills and stuff. Like they should be on the trip because right. You know what I'm saying? So they're like they should see for their first hand. You know that makes sure. And then I mean it's their kid too, so I get it, and they're really involved.
Yeah, they're knowledgeable, and we're kids.
Right. I mean, some parents cross the line for sure. Like, don't get me wrong. There's some parents like, what the? Like, anyway. So then, Hawaii had a versus UC Irvine. You guys had a preseason game because this is around December-ish, early December. So I remember going there, and I was like courtside. No one else was really there, and I just remember like literally sitting like with my arms like slumped like on the table, and I just kept thinking to myself, how could I turn down UCLA? Like, how could I turn that like opportunity down? No, I was not really worried about the prestigiousness of UCLA. It was more like the team, all that other stuff, like all that.
And the national team coach being there.
And my recruits being my age being there and all this other stuff. And later I remember Josh and then when my mom, because I was staying with Joe and my parents staying at a hotel, Josh was like finally said, like, yeah, we don't have anyone else in your age group that we're looking at. Dude, I'm not kidding you. I am the only recruit. I am the only recruit out of my age, okay? Out of my age group. The rest three were like tryout walk-ons. One was my homeboy Max, who's a beast now. One was Jake Myers, or I like to call him Jewel Myers, who now attends Colorado Boulder. And Nate Young, aka Silent Wang, who is at who's at USC right now. So only one stay on the team, and he had a tryout, and he made it, right? Max.
How did we not get you or your brother, man?
Dude, yeah. So then I remember I was like,
how do I turn down UCLA?
How did I turn down UCLA? I was like, how do I do that?
I'm
just
shaking
kept telling
my head
to my
in
dad.
Disappointment right now.
I know. So Joe after the match, the
Joe
next day,
really did some magic
yeah,
on
Joe
you.
Joe comes, he's like, dude, like I get
Joe.
It. Like, dude, but listen
Joe.
To this. Oh, I forgot to say this.
Joe, I am so pissed at you, Joe.
But
I'm
listen,
so pissed at you.
But listen.
Oh, my gosh.
Bro, I remember my first time meeting with Charlie, bro. I'm not kidding you. He gave off this kind of. I'm not trying to like back talk Charlie. It was the best decision of my life that I went to Hawaii. I love Charlie. It just in the moment. I'm sure we could discuss this and have him on the show and get his input on this. But I'm not kidding you, dude. He comes up to me at Nationals when he's first legally allowed to approach me my senior year. After the meeting, I was like, wait a minute. Does this guy even want me? Because he came and approached me. Like, I'm not kidding.
Right, yeah.
Listen. Because he approached me, and then we were talking, me and my mom, and it was me and him, and he's like, yeah, we got a lot of liberos in the island. Like, so it was kind of like I should be like,
mm-hmm.
like not lucky, but I should like be like, yeah, we right. normally don't do that. Like, talk to liberos because we have a lot on the island, right? And I was just like, and I literally came off. He's like, yeah, if you want to come, like literally came off like he didn't want me. And then the next day, my mom, I didn't know. I was like, I literally turned to my mom after Charlie. I was like, does he want, like, what the hell was that? And then I turned to my, and then my mom, what I don't know is we had to schedule a second meeting the next day at Nationals because my mom was like told Charlie, like, I don't know what that was because Gage doesn't even know if you want him anymore. Like, so we had to schedule a next meeting the next day. So we go the next day. He's like, all right, look, like, we want you. Like, I think he's trying to put up like the tough guy persona. I'm not really sure. Like, what was
he going on? He went solo, good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
He didn't have a partner. He just was like, man, I'm gonna solo this good cop, bad cop. Watch this.
Dude. And then, so back to my recruiting visit. I go, and then Joe's like, trust me, Gage. I know it didn't come off as good, but this is where you want to go. And then, remember, it also would add to the I don't go to parties at all, let alone crowded parties.
I know we screamed at you. We yelled at you. I know that we,
yeah.
I know that we said we don't want you, but.
Dude. And then the worst part, what added on top of that was that Joe and the boys, they all brought me to a party, and I'm not really a big party guy, and it was a Halloween party, so it was like super pre-corona, super, super like packed house, college house. I'm sweating balls. I don't know anyone. I'm not enjoying. The only good part about that is because we went to Safeway, we got a couple of DiGiorno's, went in some rando's kitchen and started cooking in DiGiorno's in the middle of the party, and we ate that.
DiGiorno's.
And then the oven,
so good,
dude. Yeah, the oven on top of that, on top of the heat that was, I did not have a good time. Joe later the last day, he's like, Gates, like, I get it, you got to come here, this is the best. I was like, I know, but like all this other stuff. So 2 days later go by, I think about 3 days. I go to my mom's work. She has a whiteboard. I was like, all right, I know where I got to go. In the back of my mind, I was like, you know what? I think I got to go to Hawaii. I got to fulfill that. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I remember I called Charlie and I'm like, hey, Charlie. He's like, oh, hey, Gage. Like, how we doing? I'm doing good, coach. I'm doing good. I was just like to, he was like casual. I don't know if he was like expecting me to say no, thank you. But it was just, like, super casual, and I just remember it was, like, and then I was, like, yeah, I'd like to commit to University of Hawaii. And I just hear, like, oh, what? Like, just kind of, like, scramble.
Like, and then, he's, like, and then my think, good cop, bad cop, what? Yeah.
Like, do I go? and then he goes, and I remember, I just, I.
You follow that up with, that was the best recruiting pitch I had ever seen. You had me from the jump, coach.
I remember, I swear he was walking because I just hear him just like walk faster. He's like, oh, I gotta get the papers ready and I gotta go. And I'm like, all right, coach, well, thank you. He's like, I'll be in contact. And then we end the call. I call Spira and I was like, hey, I don't know. And then I contact you, Mike. I was like, hey, I just want to let you know. And you're like, and you were super chill. You're like, you know what? That's a bummer. And then I remember Brad Keller on my UCLA visit. He's like, do you guys, like, would you go to Hawaii? Because your brother. And I was like, no, not really. And now that's the reason why. So I go up, and I remember I was at a club tournament. I go up later. It was before the STVA one, before Nationals. I go up to Brad and John, and I thank them. I'm like, thank you very much. And then they're like, so Brad asks, he's like, so why'd you do it? So why'd you commit? I was like, well, it's my brother. He's like, you son of a bitch. Like, starts laughing. He's like, you. So that was my recruiting visit, and that's how I ended up in Hawaii. It's a long, rambunctious story, but I hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was good. Whenever people come to UCLA, I don't really, like, was I really selling you on UCLA, or I just kind of just.
No need. You shouldn't have to.
Well, yeah, and I just kind of just say, like, this is the good, this is the bad, and I. It's such an important decision for people that right. I feel such a responsibility to not, like, have any impact on it besides like telling you what is and what is not. So that when you, if you do make the decision to come or not come, if you were to come and be unhappy and be like, dude, what the heck? You said this was like this and I don't want that on me. So I'm just like, hey, this is, dude, this is what this is like. And this is what this is like. And this is good. This is bad. And you go ahead and decide. And when people decide, I'm like, man, good. Like, best of luck to you. And I hope that that was the right fit for you. And obviously Hawaii is the right fit for you, hands down.
Yeah, dude, I do the same thing. I'm like, here, here's this, but I think you're an idiot if you go, I'm just kidding. You're an idiot if you go anywhere else, but yeah, you, I mean, you have the right to be wrong. You can go anywhere you want. I'm just kidding. No, I don't do that. I try and play the devil's advocate and everything and be like, yo, here's this, so you're like, and I've said to people, like, don't come here. Like, not on their recruiting visit or anything, but, like, people who, like, text me, like, should I, I'm like, dude, do not come here, because you, we have blank amount of spots here, and I know that if you're trying out for our team, like, with us, Hawaii tryouts, chances are, unless they're, like, really recruiting you, like, really, kind of really interested, but if, like, you go to the coaches and are like, hey, or something like that, chances are, you're not going to make it here. Then that's just how it's been. Like, they'll put you on a far court, and then you're there, and then you're not coming back after 3 days or whatnot. And that's just how it is, though. Yeah. But this has been definitely a fun segment. This is I haven't even really thought. I haven't told that full story in a very, very long time. So thanks for letting me get enough. Thanks for letting me get it off my chest, boys. Well, we have had fun here. Micah, thank you very much.
Yes.
Joe, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
We've had fun talking volley here. And if there's anything you want us to talk about, don't be afraid to DM us. But this has been another episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Addis System.